Amen. We're going to start in Ephesians 6 this morning. Look at our verse where we'll jump from. We'll go to Luke chapter number 12 following that. We are looking at the wiles. We've been looking at the wiles of the devil, and it has been a... Every time I think about something else that he uses to get at people, I try not to get to, I don't want to be here for forever, but there's just some general themes and thoughts that are really, you see them a lot. So, whether you address it once with one person or once with everybody and say, well, watch out for this, watch out for this, that's a big one today. I was planning on doing two thoughts today, but it was, I don't know, we shall see if we get there. The Bible says in verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. And we saw in verse 10, our strength doesn't lie in us. He says to be strong in the Lord. Paul does, telling the church at Ephesus, strong in the Lord and the power of His might, that you wouldn't have failure, that you wouldn't have defeat, because Jesus doesn't suffer defeat. He doesn't lose, not even for a second. Doesn't have losing thoughts. Okay, right before you lose, a lot of times people have losing thoughts like, we're going to lose. And then it looks like it, you know, like, why didn't you do that? You know, it just gets frozen in time. And it's not appropriate to tell young people that you're a bum and you're this. You just kind of hang your head and walk away. And it's like, oh, kid. You know, the big thing in coaching is like, you're trying to give them the confidence that what you've taught them is going to work and that they can, you can do it. You can do it, right? But we can't do it in the flesh. We absolutely can't. But we can do it in the power of the Lord. And that's to the weakest physical person that has the ability to move no part of their body to do anything but to think and to be able to have this this scripture here to put our strength in the Lord. It has nothing to do with our physical ability at all. But put it on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. His deception, his tricks, we've seen 2 weeks ago where he works on our lusts, he works on our old man, our old nature. And last week we saw that he does have power, he has the power of death, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 2. So Jesus had to be put to death and raised again from the dead to show that he hasn't the power of death over him. Okay? And that in Christ we can have victory over death, and we don't have to see things die. We don't have to see things in our life destroyed if we put those things in Christ keeping, and we do those things in Christ. We'll see this morning that our teaching this morning, our lesson, our message, if you will, is fear of loss. It's fear of loss. The wiles of the devil over fear of loss. Okay, one of the fears that people have, fear of losing things. Could be people times that I don't know if we have time to get to people today, but we'll see. But things, fear of loss, right? And he holds it over us. And then just to steal the thunder this morning from myself, fear grows in misplaced love. Fear grows in misplaced love. You put your love in something you're not supposed to put your love in, and you're afraid of losing it. You're going to lose it, people. I mean, you're going to lose it. It's going to go. It's going to break. It's going to go away. And you're going to be like, huh. Right? But if I put my love in Christ, singularly, all by itself, I put my love there, all those other things, they'll take care of themselves. And so one of the things the devil gets at people is through fear. Remember in 2 Timothy, the Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. The devil's used that fear. Okay, because he can play on the emotion. He knows us. He knows how we work. He uses the same strategies over and over again. So we're going to go from have a word of prayer, then we're going to go over to Luke chapter number 12, and we're going to take a look at what Jesus teaches the disciples about this very thing. Father, thank you for your grace. We do pray that you bless us. We read your word this morning. Pray that you'd work in hearts today, Father, and we'll surely thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 12 this morning, the fear of loss, misplaced love. Lord told us in Matthew 22:37, that we're to love Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And if we do those things, we're able to love our neighbor as ourself. I don't think my neighbors would care much for me trying to love them just in my own strength. They'd probably want Christ's love over my own, they'd probably see a whole lot more come from it. You know, even if they don't know the Lord, but they'd say, I like that version better. That's a better version. Luke chapter number 12, fear of loss. Fear of loss. The Bible says, verse number 1, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another. No distancing, people. They're watching some of the ball games yesterday, and you see these stadiums with like a little bit of people here, a little bit of people here. And crazy days like the pro games, piping in sound. I'm sure nobody's going to take advantage of that, you know, and noise pollution. But anyway, I don't do good standing, getting stood on by other people. Even if there's fish to be caught, it's just too crowded. Give us some wide open spaces. But here Jesus is there, so they're stepping on one another, trying to get there. He began to send his disciples, first of all, beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. It may look like something on the outside, okay? But when you stick it with a pin, it comes crashing down, right? It's inflated. It's puffed up. It's not going to work. Why? Because there's no substance to it. There's nothing on the inside. Nothing on the inside. We're talking about that leaven. It's just a picture of puffing up. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Okay? If there's no Christ inside of you, it's going to be revealed. Right? It will be. That's why we need to have Christ. We need to receive Christ who's on the inside. We have to have our inside changed. What we do on the outside is a direct relationship of what's going on the inside. The Bible says our heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Not, you're a good person. I'm not a good person. I'm a scoundrel. I can wake up tomorrow and think of the most and contrive some of the most. I mean, I can do that in the flesh. The heart's deceitful. I don't want that. I want God to work in my life. And we have to receive Christ. He comes in and He starts changing these things. The Bible says, nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear of the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Okay? Fear of loss. Verse 4. Fear of loss. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Okay? Now, different time now, and we kind of look through a different lens as Americans. So we say, well, we're free. We got this. We got that. Right? They weren't. They weren't. They had to go through checkpoints, so to speak. And they had to get the thumbs up from the Roman authorities that were around them and these kinds of things. And I mean, they were able to practice their stuff a little bit and do their things, but they were under rule. And so there's a kind of a different mindset of there about, you know what, they could just come search our house or come or do whatever they want because they don't like what we're doing. You know, these kinds of things we don't necessarily relate to. It says, be not afraid of them that kill the body. Okay? If I follow Christ and I get marked, then I could lose my life. What he's telling them here, he says, don't be afraid of people that could kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. And we talked about it in Sunday school this morning. There's not one person in here that's going to hold up God. I mean, it's just not going to happen. I mean, we're flesh. We're nothing. We're going to die. Just like all those nice leaves last week that were nice, and now they're coming off by the bucket loads, right? And just, you know, you go blow on the tree and you shake them and all are coming down, right? It's like, oh, it's just like the forest getting undressed or something, you know. It's all come crashing down. It's like, man, life's like, oh, we're not going to hold up God, right? Just like those leaves fall, we're going to fall. I'm not talking about falling, say, I'm talking about going to sleep, right? We're going to be buried. We're going to be in the ground. Say, the Lord's like, oh, I wish I had somebody to support me now. No. No, He's going to take care of it. He's going to do that. Do not be afraid about losing life. People are fearful. I mean, you talk about it, right? Number one fear in the world, probably, okay, amongst most people groups, is fear of death, right? They don't understand it. They have no idea about it. Now, I don't want to look at death and learn it from Satan. I want to learn it from Christ. I want to learn about death from Christ. The Bible talks about the valley of death. You go into the valley of death, right? We're going to go through it, right? Lord doesn't come, we're going to go through it. Lots of people are going to go through it. It's going to be it's part of it. It's part of the process. It's what makes you appreciate life so much, is looking at the end of life. Noah and I were on a walk yesterday, and we found some salmon in this spot, and some of them had finished their journey, right? I mean, there they were in all their glory,
full of fuzz and decay and nastiness, you know? You're just, man, smelled nice, you know? The smell of death, right? It's there. It's necessary, though, right? Because you look in some of the places, and then there's these little guys running around, right? This doesn't happen, then that doesn't happen, and it's a part of it. They're saying, look, if your thoughts are about preserving your life, so we're not thinking right. That's the wrong thing to think about. And the Bible says, afraid. We're fearful of life, right? We're fearful of dying. We want to keep our life. We're afraid of dying, so we got to hide. Right? What did the prophet do when he was afraid? Thought Jezebel was after him. What did he do? They went and preached God's word. Had Carmel, Mount Carmel, round two. No! He went from the mountaintop to the cave, right? And God had to speak to him there for all of us, saying, look, it's not in the big top, man. He said, it's in the still small voice. Get out and do your job, right? Because then what do you get in the cave, okay? I mean, this is the process, people. This happens to so many people, and this is why you can't look at yourself. You have to look out. You have to look to the Lord, and from the Lord, he says, love me first, then you're going to love your neighbor. I mean, keep it that simple, right? He goes into the cave, and what are his thoughts? God's powerful. God's mighty. God's made this cave for me to dwell in, and he's going to supply my needs, and such a wonderful hiding place. No, that'd be interesting. I mean, I'd keep reading after that. What did he say? Oh, no, I'm the only one. This may as well be a tomb, because I'm here to die by myself. I'm the only one. And God's like, no. No, who gave them those thoughts, people? They all go along with this thought process of being afraid. You're afraid. Then the devil's just like, I'm going to lob this one in there just to see if it takes. Oh, they believed it. Oh, yes, they're the only ones. Yes, yes, I'm winning, right? And then you think, I'm the only one. And then we end up in going down into the hole, right? It's better off that I don't even live. Ah, devil's got you where he wants you, right? There he is, power of death, right? There he is. And the Lord's saying, don't be afraid of losing your life. Don't be afraid of losing your life. No more that they can do those that take the life of the body. I will forewarn you. Verse 5 says, you whom ye shall fear, fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. And there's only one that has that ability. Read Revelation, you'll see it. He's got the ability. The Bible says he used the angels. He could do it himself. He could speak with his words. He could do it. Not the one that has the power to take life from the body. Okay? But Satan can make that happen. It can happen. We talked about it. He has the power over death. Right? I mean, go look at all Job's kids. I mean, look at different things. Satan's destroy, destroy, destroy. Why? Was it just solely to destroy Job's children? He's trying to get at Job. Remember who was the target here? It was Job. Right? And so Satan's like, oh, I'm going to get at you, I'm going to get at your kids, or I'm going to get at this, or I'm going to get at that, or I'm going to take your... That's all right, hey. And Job's thoughts right. Even when Mrs. Job's thoughts were just like, any more? Because you hit this point where it's just like, really? I mean, just like, what else could go wrong? Any more? Are you still going to have integrity here? Are you still going to do this? But the target was Job. Who made him the target, people? God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Job's like, did you really have to bring my name up, Lord? But really, Job's idea was, look, God, do with me what you will. Good or bad, right? I mean, ask most Christians, like, hey, if God could get glory through your life, would you let him? Oh, yes. You don't care what happens? No. Okay, just taking sure. Okay, just checking. Okay, I'm telling you, most of the time it's like, can I just put you through the grinder a little bit here? And you come out still smiling and praising me because you said at the beginning, okay, this is what you do. You give me glory, or I will bring you all through this and give you glory. Oh, I just want to go through some good times and give you glory. That's a whole lot easier test, yeah. You know, sad people forget to give God glory when things are going good. They just say, yay, you know, or whatever, right? Instead of, man, praise God, this is exciting, right? This is great. Oh, it's like we're singing in the song there, right? Mercy, right? We're singing low, singing slow. Still got to be singing, though, right? Coming through that thing, getting beat up.
The Bible says, verse number 6, he asks us some questions. Okay? It'll make us think, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? Not one of them is forgotten before God. Okay? Small things. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. No hair jokes this morning. Amen? And it's easy for God to keep track of my hairs. There's not very many of them. Yeah. Right? He knows. Lord knows, right? Because what is the fear that God doesn't know because I don't know? Every devil ever get that one? Oh, you don't know, do you? Well, could it be that God doesn't know? No. No, He knows. He knows. Why does it matter that it's the hairs of it? Does it matter that it's it? But that God knows. He knows all things. Things that you don't even think about that He would know, He knows. So He knows about you. And then He promises here also, back part of verse 7, fear not, therefore, ye have more value than many sparrows. Many sparrows, more value. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels. Right? Fear of loss. Fear of loss. We're afraid of losing stuff. We need to put our trust in Him and give Him all things. He said, but I'm afraid of losing this thing. Okay? Too tight a hold on something. I mean, look at it all the way to the end, people. I mean, just, it's going to break. If a man made it, it's going to break. It's just sometimes it takes a little longer, depending on which man made it, right? I mean, it's just, I mean, if your love and your, and we'll see it here at the end when we stop reading here, where our heart is, the Bible talks about our treasure being there. If it's there, you're going to be disappointed. And it's a discouragement and it's a disappointment that you shouldn't have to, I mean, you take enough lumps in life, you shouldn't have to do that. Okay? And it's all about where are we putting our trust? Where are we putting our faith? The devil wants to substitute fear in there. Oh, you could die. Oh, I don't want to die. Paul's saying, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? Right? And he said, you're crying, you want me to live. But he's like, man, I can't wait to go. Okay? It's needful for me to be here. He said, I've got to teach people. I've got to help people still understand. He says, but man, I'm ready to go. Why? Because he understood where life really was. It says this battle every day of death, battle and sin, battle and all these things that are in the flesh that we have to take on as being a created being here. The Bible says many sparrows, we're more value. We need to confess the Lord. The Bible says, he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. When they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. What do I say? Don't be surprised when somebody tells you, I don't know. Okay? That question you're supposed to ask God. What am I supposed to say? But it's really important. It could be to save my... No, don't couch it like that. You say, Lord, what do you want me to say? Okay? What do you want me to say? One of my favorite prophets, he's this little tiny guy. He just has a little short section in there. But he gave old Ahab fits. Micaiah, man, he's just a son of Amlaw, man. He said, he never says good things about me. Because there's nothing good to say about you, dirty rat. I mean, you start living for God. You're married to a wicked woman. I mean, it's a mess. I was reading about Jezebel putting her makeup on the other day, painting her face. I mean, it was just funny because, like, my dad, when my sister first, like, started doing makeup or whatever, and I heard him use the word Jezebel a few times, you know. And it was, like, my mom would let her, like, it made me chuckle when I was reading my Bible this week. I said, sure enough. Got her face all dolled up, and the servant of God comes to the window. Who's for God? Throw her out, right? They grabbed her, and out she went. What a day, right? What a day. The Bible's crazy, man. You start reading in there, it's a mess. But here's Micaiah, and he tells what God has him to say. Gets punched in the face, thrown into prison, never heard from again. Right? In the Scripture. Right? He says, if this doesn't happen, he says, then it's... then I'm wrong. If it doesn't happen this way, then God didn't say it. But that's what God told him to say. It says it doesn't matter. So, well, Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me to do this, and you got to do this, and you got to do. No, he doesn't have to. He really doesn't have to. Say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Use me how you want me to be used. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't worry about your life. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach you what you need to say. That very hour when you need it, one of the company said unto him, this is the mindset, okay? This is how important all this stuff is. This is, he's getting them ready because it's coming. And this is where their mindset is, like children. One of the company said, Master, speak to my brother to divide the inheritance with me. What are we doing? Right? I mean, we're getting our kids playing on their stupid phones, going to this game. You're about to get your face smashed in by this kid that wants to serve you back for what you did a few weeks ago. But you're not even paying attention. And in life, we're going through life, and it's life and death, and it's people going to hell, and it's people getting drugged through the mud, and people fighting against people. The war is not against people. It's against an enemy that's unseen. We got to know that. We got to respond the right way. Say, well, what about my stuff? Lord, he's going to get more than 50%. They just want to, and the Lord was kind. He's gracious. He doesn't just, right, go and slap them around. If you want to, though, you're like, dude, focus, right? This message is huge. People don't get this message now. They're like, oh, my life. It doesn't matter. You said my life doesn't matter. Kind of, a little bit. I mean, sort of, yes. It matters to Jesus. You're more important than sparrows, but if he wants to see you dead, then it's going to happen. Get a grip. I would say, this isn't life. To be with Christ is life. He's everlasting life. To be with him is life. And people, we said, we got the millennium. We got the marriage supper of the Lamb. We got the tribulation stuff that we're going to, praise the Lord, not have to go through all that stuff, but you have to come back after that stuff. We got all kinds of stuff to look. I mean, it's all sorts of living left. This is the end. No, it's not! That's a lie. He's trying to make you think that your life is so important that I'm going to save it, I'm going to choose it, and I'm not going to use it for God. Right? I heard Brother Hoffmeister talking about burning out and not rusting out and all the other things. Yeah, it's true. Maybe you'll use your life for Christ. I'll go hide in a cave because I'm the only one left and I got to be this set that's saved of God because I'm, oh man. No. And here's this one saying, boy, help me. I'm not getting my fair share. 14, he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. Think about it. If I'm covetous, right, I got to have this thing. Well, I definitely got to have my life to have this thing, right? We're already past the part of saving my life. I want to enjoy this thing. I want this. Am I the object of your affection? Jesus would say, am I the one you love above all other things? He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. It's not things. What's your relationship to them? God, they're yours. You can take them if you want. You can do with them what you want. I'm yours. Job said, naked, right? I mean, that's our thought process, right? Naked, right? We saw Satan's thought process last week. Skin for skin. He'll give it all to save his neck. You've got to think that way. And Jesus says, give your life up. If you give your life up, we have the power over death. I mean, think about it. Satan can't hold you in this life saying, oh, you can lose your life if you do that. You'll be a missionary. God will go, you'll lose your life. He said, no, skin for skin. God's got my life. He can use it how he will. And that's how people were able to pack their belongings in their coffins as they went and went to places they'd never seen and never heard of before. Unbelievable stories, right? Only to find victory behind this fog of fear. They said, oh, we're sailing through that thing. We're going. We're going. Why? Why? Because the Lord Jesus, I love him with all my heart. I'd rather love him than fear anything else. I don't love the Lord. I don't want to fear anything else. I don't want to fear anybody else. The Bible says here in verse number 16, spake a parable, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do?
because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And this brother that's not getting his half sin. Oh, yeah. 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 Got lots of stuff. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater. And there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. God saith in him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Right? All the things you worry about, somebody else is going to have them. It's over and over in Scripture. Read Ecclesiastes. It's all there. Solomon's the only elk going to have it. Had it all, man. All those horses. All that stuff. Somebody else going to ride them. Somebody else going to use them. They're going to pull somebody else's chariot. They're going to... In love with stuff. In love with things. In love with this stuff, right? Oh, I got to save my life so I can enjoy this stuff. No, 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 no. Be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. To be absent from the body, Paul says, to be present with the Lord. And he's saying, oh man, we can't wait. We can't wait. We're reading right now in Romans to talk about the body groaning. Boy, we just cannot wait for the hope, man, of that resurrection, the body to be glorified. Oh man, no more aches and pains. No more snack, crackle, and pop in the morning. That's going to be exciting. All creation groans, the Bible says. While we're waiting for it to get glorified, that's exciting. Oh, I want to preserve my mortification process. I want to preserve the breaking down. I want to preserve this. This is so great. Really? Is it really that great? Man, well, people don't think, oh, I want to save my skin. I want to save my... No, we don't. No, we don't. The Bible says here in verse number 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Is treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Have no riches toward God. Grandpa said he'd do his giving while he was living. But then he was knowing where it was going. It was funny. He said that. I must have said that for a year before he passed away. You know, do my giving while I'm living. Here, you can take that. And I'm like, Grandpa, I don't even want that. You just take that. Okay. All right. You know, it's so funny. I mean, you're a kid. You're thinking like, okay. You know, that word inheritance is a big word, but a lot of times just the name, right? I mean, it's the name you have. I mean, it's not, oh, I sure hope. No, just, you know. And you get these ideas about it is a sad thing to see families broken apart when somebody they love passes away and then the love for each other is just shredded because of stuff. It's insane. I'll give a rip about stuff. Let it burn. If you're unsure, put it outside and just leave it there for a couple of months, right? If it doesn't look the way it did when you left it out, it's corrupt. I mean, it's going to be gone. That relationship you can never get back. You never get back once it's gone. Over stuff, over things, he says, boy, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of covetousness. Beware of laying up treasures for himself. He said unto his disciples, therefore I'll send you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. I see the ravens in Alaska, I think about it all the time. I see it all the time. It's amazing. They're always there. They'll be there when you're gone. They're eating good, right? They never look like... This is a tough time for the ravens. Like, I never see that where they've just got their little can on the side of the road and they're like, hey, anything will help. Never like that. Oh, over here. Oh, it's over here. Oh, it's over here, right? Especially this time of year, right? Dead stuff everywhere, right? Dead animals and dead fish. Whoo, it's a smorgasbord, right? God's saying, look at them. What do you see? Oh, they're annoying to me, or they're this, or they're that, or they're some occult symbol. And I'm not, he said, no, but I feed them. I feed them all. I mean, there's birds mentioned in this chapter twice already, right? And we're thinking about us. God's like, birds, ravens. I feed them all. The Bible says in verse number 25, which of you with taking thought can add? Okay. Are you going to roll back the years? What are you going to do? Got my stuff, now I'm too old to enjoy it. You know, it's like, man. What a bummer. I don't feel like going and doing it. I was walking yesterday and I was just thinking I go anymore. I'll take Nolan and Nolan, he's my shooter, right? I like going and seeing stuff, but it's kind of I'm losing the desire a little bit sometimes. Not bad. I love fishing, but it's like, you know what? It's like, I don't know if they kill stuff or something. I want my kids to enjoy stuff, but my dad, like when I was hunting, my dad was, you know, like, oh, there's one, and you're a kid, you're thinking like, you know, if it's brown, it's down. If it flies, it dies, you know. And I'll just shoot in the air and hope something flies in the way, you know. You're just like, you're ready. You just can't wait, you know. And you get older and you're just kind of like, you know, I'll pass. Oh, yeah, that's not close enough to the road. That's not going to fall in the truck. So we'll pass on that one, you know. I'm thinking, we'll just go down there and get that. And saying, I ain't going down there and get that. You do those things. A desire. Ecclesiastes talks about it in chapter 12. A desire is going to fail. When that does, then it's like, it don't matter. You won't have the desire to add that stuff anymore. It's going to go. It's like, oh, I got this stuff. And desire is going to be like, I don't even, right? It's going to be gone. We trick ourselves. We're not living for the right things. We're not doing the right things with what we have. We're not spending our time for God, the time that He has given us. How many of us can add by taking thought? Can we add to ourselves by make ourselves taller? Make ourselves stronger, smarter, just by taking thought? If you be not able to do that thing which is least. And He says that's the least thing to do. He says, why take ye thought for the rest? He said, if you can't make yourself grow an inch if you wanted to, He says, why do you even bother thinking about those other things? Like fear. I'm afraid of loss. Give it to me. I don't lose anything. And again, it's not about stuff. This isn't a message of give everything you have to the poor, and then you know, it's not about that. Jesus said you're always going to have the poor. You need to love them like you love other people. He says, but be a steward of your stuff. He said, love me. Love me. Don't be afraid of dying. Give me your life. Oh, I'm not afraid of dying myself. I'm afraid of my kids dying. Then what do you need to do with your kids' life? You need to give those to Jesus, because what if He decides He wants one of them? You're going to hate God for the rest of your life? It's ridiculous. You don't talk to people and did you give them to God? No, I loved them more than anything. Okay. All right. That's what we talked about last week with Abraham. Can you imagine Abraham's struggles? Don't tell the wife. Where are you going? We'll see you after a while, right? Don't tell the wife. And here we go, you know? I mean, just why? That was a treasured possession. And that was like the last thing. And God, He's like, nope, I'm giving that to you. God, I give you my homeland, my country, my name, all these things. God, you think about what God took from Abraham. The world called you a fool. He'd have been called the first Christian. Gave it all up. Gave up his land. God gave him a different name. He didn't have nowhere he was going. None of that stuff. But he knew God. That was enough. He knew God wasn't going to wait. And hey, ups and downs, but hey, in the end, he said, God, here He is. The Bible says in Hebrews, He had accounted. I love that passage in Hebrews. The Bible says He had accounted. He had recognized that God, if something happened to His kid, He would raise him from the dead. He said, why? Because He promised nations are going to come from this boy. He promised that. And he was banking on God's word. That's what we have to do. That's what you have to do. He says, but don't worry about your life. Oh, my life. What if I get the vid? This is terrible. Yeah, I get it. I understand. But we're going to have your funeral anyways, whether it's a heart attack or what it is. And mine. Live it for God. Well, take it easy. Getting radical now, right? You're actually going to go out in public. Yeah. It's worked before, right? Trust God. We have to trust Him. And that's not to throw light at anything that's going on, especially in light of the last year. But we need to trust God. Consider the lilies, how they grow and they toil not. They toil not, they spin not. Means they work for nothing to dress themselves. But yet we drive by and look at them and we stop and we say, how beautiful is that thing, right? The Bible says that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass. Why? Because it's all the things. He's preparing the disciples for just what they have to do. And this isn't just them. Well, God sent the 12 out that way, but the rest of us, we got it made. No, it doesn't work that way. Right? different time, so that's about it. Everything else is the same. The stuff that he gives, he said, well, Israelite, well, it's all about my clothes. It's all about how I look on the outside. It's all about this. We're just buying into that leaven of the Pharisees. It's our guys. It's our outside. It's not. And God says, we are what we are on the inside. We're ugly on the inside, people. It's going to show on the outside. 100% of the time. 100% of the time. The strange thing is lost people can see through that stuff. They can see it. They want to see God shine from the inside out to the outside. We're almost done. Seek not ye, verse 29, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. So here we're fearful in verse number 4. The Bible says we have a doubtful mind. Is it not in verse 7? Fear not therefore. Are we going to doubt God that He's going to feed us and clothe us? He's taking care of the sparrows. He's taking care of the ravens. He's taking care of the lilies. And yet somebody wants to make sure his inheritance is divided right. Verse 31, seek ye the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. Fear not. Verse 32 tells us not to be afraid in verse 4. He tells us to fear not in verse 7, 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags with that which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Verse 34, we're done. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You flip 34 around, and I said, if I can find your heart, I can find your what? I can find your treasure. It was a treasure hunt. Let's find the heart first, right? And it's like, ooh, that's where your treasure is going to be. Well, if I've given God my heart, my treasure is going to be in God's things, things that matter for eternity. People are what matter for eternity. People. Invest in people. Oh, what are we investing in these uncertain times, right? People, think about the word uncertain. Does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? Did they know 1929 what was going to happen the next day? Did they know in 1829 what was going to happen the next day? No. We're living in uncertain times. Yeah, you said it, right? From the day we're born to the day we're dying. What we know, uncertain. What God says is sure.
Amen.
Lay it up. Lay it up. Invest in people. What's that mean? Spending time with people. That's what it means. You spend time with them. You help them along. However, whichever ever avenue, you point them to the Lord. God's words. You use God's love and you help them and you bring them that way. Invest in people. Invest in people. You say, well, what does that mean? We've got to buy a nicer property. We've got to buy a nicer. No, it's the people. Things that are going to last for eternity. You can get sideways about the church stuff, right? Say, oh, we could have all this. Yeah. But it's all going to corrupt away. I mean, you think about it. Right? I mean, we've all always talk about our building, right? Amen. The people have survived the earthquake, so it's going to survive, I think. But it's just a building. It's just a building, right? We could go meet anywhere, and we could still be Bible Baptist Church too, yeah? Because it's the people. God wants the building, He can have it, right? Oh, no, that was my favorite building. Don't do that. Oh, no, God, it's your building! I'm yours as well. My children are yours. The boat's yours. Whatever you want. I mean, it's been quite the year, right? You just scratch your head and you're like, what's going to break next? What's going to happen next? You're like, oh, praise God, they're not mine. Or you really go haywire, right? Oh, no, my. That's where our heart is, huh? That's where our treasures are going to be. Fear not. Satan says, oh, what about your life? What about your life? Skin for skin. Oh no, I don't want to lose my. And Jesus said, lose it, man. Give it. No, save yourself. Isn't it crazy? He that has the power over death wants you to live, but He wants you to live in the flesh. Yeah. He's just trying to get you everywhere. The wiles of the devil. Let's stand this morning. We'll sing our song of invitation. 261 is turn your eyes upon Jesus. We got to look at Him, and we got to listen to Him. Don't bring your drivel to Him. Oh, my inheritance. Is it laid up in heaven, right? That's what the end of the chapter is. Because, you know,
You don't know if he was preaching right to this guy, but he's all, my inheritance. And in the end, he finishes with, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I hope that guy heard it. I hope you heard it. 261 this morning, our altars are open. You need to come and pray. Would you come?